probably wouldn't be approved. It would be good, so.
Well, I was, I called your house. I thought you were, I was
calling.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can hold it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Beautiful people.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Appreciate that, brother.
Okay.
Bless you. Okay.
Here's our Trinity of students. Well, John's here. That will probably be in.
I'm going to finish up lesson 52 so we can play with some of these exercises today if we've got some time, at least to get started. Now, we've been talking about object suffixes. This chapter is only dealing with object suffixes that are stuck onto perfect forms and then only third-person masculine singular and second-person masculine singular. So you've only got a very, very small portion of the whole problem here. And of course we saw on page 260 the three different types of suffixes that are added on depending upon whether or not to take the stress and whether or not the letter that ends the basic form of the verb with its suffix ends in a vowel or a consonant. So we were looking at this on page 261, the object suffixes on the perfect third person masculine singular. We looked at some of the comments here, and we're just kind of taking a brief overview of the call, PL, and HIFIL forms, since these are the only transitive forms. And I don't know if there's any other questions on these. They're all pretty straightforward. This first verb, shamar, that's your strong one, and then, of course, you've got a list of all the other variations. The strangest one is the probably the three hay, where the hay just drops off. And but other than that, it's pretty straightforward. It's a matter of just adding on that suffix and giving propyrotonic reduction where it's appropriate. And then the PL forms, only comment there is with that bayrock, you've got the seri there. Remember, in a PL, when you have either a guttural or a resh in the second position that can't take dagesh, you get a compensatory lengthening to a seri in the first syllable. And that seri stays all the way through, so that doesn't get shortened down. And they put a metheg there to indicate, so you've got beracha, or beirachani, excuse me, beirachani there for your form with the first person suffix on it. It's got the metheg there, I think, to indicate that you would have expected a shortening here, but it doesn't occur. And that schwa would be vocal too there, of course, because you've got the long vowel in front of it. Yes? Yes, if it were a different guttural, if it were just a plain guttural, you'd probably have chatet pasak there, right? Because the guttural couldn't take. So you'd have two factors going on there. You'd get the seri in the front because of the in fact, it couldn't take dagesh, and then you get the chatet pafa because it can't take shua. So your gutturals have two problems with them there in that position. Okay. Then the same thing with inna there, the PL form 3 hey, that hey drops off. So you get innani and inacha for your forms. So they're very short, look like the ones above there for the calls. Hifils. There's going to be a comment on the next page about one of these, I think, that doesn't really show up in the chart here, but basically there's nothing strange about these, nothing to worry about. There is one comment on one thing, so I'll get to that in the next page. Okay, let's take a look then at the top of the next page. There's a few remarks. Most of these we've already observed. First of all, the verbs from roots 3 hey, regardless of the conjugational type, have a shortened form before the suffix. Well, I did want to mention that the 3 hey for your hifil also is going to drop the hey. So your he'elah there, the fifth one down, you drop the last hey again. You get he'elani and he'elaka. Okay. I think you're going to make that vocal schwa just because of the suffix. Let me just check over here, see if that's part of it. Yeah, it is part of the suffix. Okay?
Was he wanting harder and apocopated? Or know, the two consonants that the...
Oh, a geminate, you mean a geminate with two A's, or?
No, I don't think.
Oh, I see, just a consonant, okay. I don't know if I could think of any with hay. There's a lot of them like ba, with, you know, with a guttural. I can't think of anything with a hay, though, but, you know, you could see what would happen. If you lost the hay, you'd have only one letter left. So I can't think of any. I'm not gonna stake my eternal life on it, but I don't think there are any. I don't know what you would call those. I suppose you'd have to call them a three hay, even though the hay is only second position. But I sure don't recall any. If there are, then it's probably not very common. And if there were, you would have to combine the problems with all of them. But that would really be a tough. You'd be ending up with hardly anything. Okay. Hebrew gets bad, but I don't think it gets that bad. I mean, I could stand to be corrected on that, but I haven't run into any. I've never run into one, that's for sure. Okay, so regardless of whether it's P-A-O, call, or hip-field, you're going to drop the hay on the three hays before you add the suffixes. Then the second note is a variation between chatef segol and chatef patak is found in the reduced syllable of verbs like heshiv, thus either hashivani or heshivani. So in the paradigm there for Heshiv, they gave you Heshivani, and that was the form that you find in the paradigm, but you may see also Hashivani. So this is that kind of a thing where it's hard to predict what the reduced vowel is going to be. And usually you get Pathak in a reduction, but some of them get Segol, and that's what these normally do. But the point here is that you might see it with the Pathak sometimes too. I don't think that'll ever present a real problem for you. You'll still recognize it either way. Okay. Object suffix is on the perfect second person masculine singular. So the next form we want to consider is, what if you want to put something on a second person masculine singular form? So the verb form is second person masculine singular. So in other words, you're saying you, masculine, did something. Using the example here, you observed me, or you observed him, you observed her. So in other words, your subject position now, indicated by the ending on the normal form of the verb, is second person masculine singular. And then the object suffixes, of course, are going to be all of the possibilities here. So with shamar here, if you're going to want to say you observed me, it's shimartani. Now, of course, remember what was the form as it started out before you put an object suffix on it. What would be the form for shamar in the second person masculine? Okay, shamarta. So you got shamarta to start with. And then what's happening here is you can see you're getting a reduction again in the first syllable because of the accent shift. The accent's going down one syllable, so it's shimartani. And these are using, you can see this is the same set of suffixes we used on the third person masculine singular. It's the same A category suffixes. So these A category stressed ones are going on the second person masculine singular also. Okay?
What about a post-vocalic thing on the original one in that comment?
Well, that's not really a vocalic comment. That's see, the letter is a consonant. The vocalic ones only involve hays and shurex and so forth. So it's a little deceptive. See, that vowel point doesn't count as a real vowel. The only things that count as vocalic in this sense are mater type ones, you know, where the whole letter sound is a vowel. That is a little bit confusing, perhaps, but this is still considered consonantal. The ones that we'll be getting into in the next chapter, some of the vocalic ones, where you're, you know, the shurex and the three hay. The hay ones, the ones that end in hay, are even considered. They're replaced by with a tau, and then they go with the consonantal. But it's your shurex that is the. Is there any others? I think the shurex is about the only one that's going to get that middle set of suffixes.
Seems to me that forming these is the most difficult part of it. We begin to recognize.
Yeah, recognition. That's the nice thing, is that to form them, you have to think about all these things. But to recognizing the suffixes, except for, you know, the stress and so forth, they're all the same. And so you're going to pick them up once you recognize the patterns. And that's what we're really interested in more than anything else. Because you're not going to be doing lots of composition in Hebrew, at least, unless the Lord calls you to a ministry in Israel or something. And then you'll have to take some other courses and develop those skills. Okay. So going through this whole thing probably isn't necessary. It's just a matter of... he summarizes what you do here. The endings are exactly the same as those of the third-person masculine singular verb. It is convenient, therefore, to describe the stem change as shamarta going to shamart with the shawa on the first syllable, and then, in effect, you drop that kamat off the tau and just leave that root, and then, once you have that root, add those suffixes to it, and to specify the suffixes of column A above. So you just consider that to be the root and column A suffixes, and you have it. So there's a chart there showing what happens with various types of verbs again, and the same kind of remarks pretty much apply. Perhaps, though, see, with your three hays, you have a little bit different situation now. You've got banitha, and now you've got no problem like you have before. It doesn't end in a hay anymore. It ends in a tau, and so it really is no different. Banitha, banithani is the form that you end up with. So the three hays, you know, are more civilized in this category. They don't do quite the strange things. But that's because they already did their strange thing in the paradigm of the verb. And so now it's pretty much taken care of. The remarks here, only the hifil verbs from roots 1 guttural require comment. Note at the end of section 158 that the converted perfect, wuha'amanta, has patak and chate patak instead of the usual sagol, chate sagol, he'emanta. The same substitution is made where pronominal suffixes are added to the converted forms. So there's a note, again, this unusual behavior was noted back there in section 158, and now the same thing's happening when you're putting pronominal suffixes onto the converted forms. So you're going from what was starting out to be sagols to patak pattern. So that's the only difference between them. Again, this is something that would be recognizable, but you probably wouldn't think of it to form it. So we've got a couple of examples here. He'emad tika means I stationed you, I placed you, I stood you. And this is, I don't know, probably not the best example, because now they're giving you a first-person form, which we won't get to until this is next chapter as far as how suffixes go on that. But they probably had to do that anyways. It's the only one that is working real well with this verb. And then instead of the sagols, you're getting pathaks, ha'amad tika. So if you see that substitution, one note too is that sometimes the replacement's not made, so you're liable to see it both ways. Most of the time with pathak, so this is when you have the pronominal suffix on it. So again, that's just a note. I wouldn't worry too much about that, except just to be aware that these things may happen. So it's interesting to note the stress is the same in both of these forms. So there's been no accent shift or anything. It's just the only difference is this morphological substitution. So the substitution is morphologically rather than phonologically determined. So it's dealing with the forms of the vowel rather than just sound alone. Okay. Vocabulary section 52. We'll take a quick run through that and then go ahead and start on the exercises. See how far we get with that. Consider the assignment for the exercises formal now. You know, make sure by tomorrow you have it all done. And we may get into a good size of it today anyway, which is good for you. If you don't have it prepared, you know, your mind will work very quickly in the next few minutes. Okay. Ma'as, to refuse or despise or reject. Verb malach, to rule, to become king or to be king. Of course, melech is the noun that's derived from that. Katsar, to reap or harvest. Bal'a, to swallow. Sal'ak, to pardon, forgive. And using preposition lamad. Marad, to rebel. Kashal, to stumble or totter. He'id, to warn. Ma'aseh, deed or act or work. I thought we had that in one of the recent readings. Maybe we didn't. I thought we had something similar. Oh. Okay. Well, here it is anyway. Ma'aseh. This is from the verb asa, to do. And this is a participle form. So.
Participle
probably a PL participle or something looks like. See, with the MAME, it's not going to be your normal, it's not going to be call. Doesn't really look like a PL either, though, without the, you know, the PL, Hithiel, something like that. Zayath is olive tree or olive. Sar, chief or officer. And Katsir, harvest, crop, time of harvest. Goy, this is an interesting word. Goy means people or nation. And the plural is Goyim. If you've ever heard that term, the Jews refer to the Gentiles as the Goyim. And so it means nation, sometimes synonymous with Am in referring to Israel, but more often used for non-Israelites. So it's the term that is generally used for the Gentile nations. So when you see the word Gentiles in the scriptures, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the idea is, usually the King James translates it nations anyway, but it's referring to this word. And if you've ever read, I've read one book, it was a real, it's one of these books allegedly written by the international Jews, and they always refer to the Goyim in a real derogatory way. Okay, proper names. Ramah is the town, Ramah, town in the hill country of Ephraim, the home of Samuel, so that's going to be relevant to this reading. Okay, any questions on the vocab? It's pretty straightforward. Only one Hithiel verb there, and most of them real simple calls. Okay, exercises then. Part A, we'll go ahead. We had to do number 1, number 8, and number 15. What you're to do here is transform the following according to the example and translate. So they're giving it to you with a suffix, and they're having to, you rewrite it, splitting the suffix off and using a form of S with the suffix on it, and then tell us what it means. So, John, go ahead and read the form first, then read what you have once it's split up, and then what it means.
Zakar Tom.
Okay.
And split up is Zakar Otham.
Okay, but maybe Zakarta Otham. Zakarta Otham.
Oh.
See, it's Zakar Tom. You got to watch that Tau in there.
Okay, so you remembered them.
Right, you remembered them. Right. Zakarta Otham. You remembered them. Okay. Tony, number 8. Take a crack at that. Yeah, just read it as it is, and then dissect it into what it would be like if you took the suffix off it and put a form of S instead.
Makar
Otheka. Okay, Makar. Oh, okay. Yeah, Makar Otheka, right. Makar Otheka. And what would be the meaning of that? Yes, he sold you. He sold you. Masculine singular. Okay. And number 15, Eric? Yeah, Ma'asahu. Okay.
Ma'as-otho.
Right, Ma'as-otho. And me? Yes, he refused him, or he rejected him, or whatever. Yeah, he rejected him, despised him, refused him, whatever. Okay, both third person, singular, masculine, in the object suffix and in the subject suffix. Okay, now the section, next section, transform the following according to the example and translate. This way you go in the reverse, they'll give you one, give you the form with S, and now you have to convert that into what it would be with the pronominal suffix. This is definitely the harder way to go. And Price, number 1?
Akata, which means the teacher.
Okay. It's Achaza, yeah. And you'd be...
Achaza.
Mm-hmm, Achaza. Achaza. If you can breathe the last one there, it's got the mapik. Anyway, the spelling would be Aleph, with Chatef, Pathak, Chet with comets, Zion with comets, and Hay with Mapik. And it'd be he seized her. He seized her. Okay. And Chatef Pathak is because of the guttural, you couldn't reduce to Shua. Okay, number eight, Doug.
The last round of the...
Mm-hmm. Shalach Tani, right. Stress on the ani there. Shalach Tani. And so you just reduce the first syllable to Shua. And, well, the spelling will be Sheen with Shua, Lamath with Pathak, Chayth with Shua, Tau with Dagesh and Pathak, Nun with Hirik Yod. And the meaning would be what? Yes, you sent me. You sent me. Okay, number question? Okay, excuse me. Number 15, Peter, I guess you're next.
Sivavanu.
Right.
And he surrounded us.
Yes, he surrounded us. Sivavanu. And that's Samak with Shua, Beth with Comets, Beth with Comets, and Nun Shurek. All right. Part C, 1, 8, and 15 on that also. Translate and replace the nominal object with the appropriate pronoun suffix to the verb. Okay, so what you do is you first of all tell us what it is, and then convert the nominal object to a pronominal object and attach to the verb. So number one, John.
Kadesh et Hasar. He sanctified the.
Right.
Yeah, the other form. Can I show?
Yeah. Okay. Is
it the spelling of it?
Can I show? Yes. Could be either Kiddusho or Kiddushahu, depending on whether you put the longer or shorter suffix on. Yeah, Kiddushahu.
Now, that would be a Shawa in the first.
Well, you know, your first syllable is going to have Hirik.
Hirik, but it would be.
Then Shawa and the Dalith.
Yeah.
Because the Dalith is doubled, it's going to be vocal. And then Sheen and Shurek. I mean, Comets. Kolomwal for if you get the shorter ending. And then if you went the longer route, it'd be Kof with Hirik, Dalith with Dagesh and Shawa, Sheen with Comets, Hay, Shurek, Kiddushahu. And what would that mean? Or would you translate?
He sanctified him.
Him, yeah, he sanctified him. Yes, Peter?
I thought the dog would have a half off the other few examples.
Well, let's double check it here, make sure we got it right.
How did you spell it short and corn? Is that what he's discussing?
Could you show? Well, it should be like Bikesh there, your first PAL. It's just a ordinary PAL. And you see your first form there? Bikashani. This would be just Bikasho. In other words, you just add a different suffix on it, and you get the same form there. Oh, yeah, but that Pathak there is the Pathak of the suffix. So your suffix is Ani.
I'm on a different page.
Where are you looking? I'm looking at page 261, and under the PL column.
Oh, okay, I was on a different page.
Yeah. See, I'm looking at the third person one because it's he.
Oh, I see.
Now, if you were looking at the second person column, that probably would have thrown you off.
Okay.
Oh, okay, that's what it was then.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only mistake you made then. Okay, number eight then. Tony, do you want to take a crack at it? Do you want to pass?
Well, he hid the deed.
Yes, he hid the deed. So you want to say he hid it.
No.
Okay, yeah, we only have he and she, so you have to figure out whether deed is masculine or feminine. Yeah.
It would
Okay, yeah. Kikadeh, would probably be either Kikdahu or Kikdo. I don't know if he would probably go, yeah, since there's no Dagesh there. This is a question mark. Now I see what we had a problem on this one. There's no Old Testament forms. This word, it doesn't happen to be used in the Old Testament this way. So you're either going to have kikado, you know, with a chatet patak, or just leave it with a shawa and close the syllable. And I couldn't decide which to do on that from the data that we had. Because there are places where the chet like that will close the syllable in some of those verb forms, and ayins will too. So one would have to find out what they actually did to know for sure which way to go on this. And I just put who knows here because there's no Old Testament form. So on a test, I would give it to you either way. So your spelling will either, if you go kikdo or kikado, it's going to be kaf with hirek, and then chet with either shawa or chatef patak, and then dalat and kolom wal. And I suspect you'd probably see it with a chatef patak, but I can't be sure because that same kind of thing happens with a three guttural verbs with both the ayin and the chet. They'll take the shawa and close the syllable before the ending comes on. So that makes me wonder which way this is going to go. And I couldn't find any example to verify it. So then if you had the ahu suffix, of course everything would be the same except you'd have ahu in the end instead of o. Okay, so he hid the deed or he hid it. Verse or number 15, Eric. Okay. He let the king live, or could be he caused the king to live. It could be either concessive or causative. So it might be he revived the king, or he let the king live, one of the two. Has to look at context, I suppose. Caused the king to live somehow, so it's either he spared his life, or he, if it was Jesus, he might have resurrected him. Okay. Okay. Yeah, either Hecheyo or Hecheyahu. Okay, and the Hecheyo would be He with Segol, Chet with Chata Segol, and Yod Cholom Wow. Hecheyo. And, or be Hecheyahu, which would be Hey with Segol, Chet with Chata Segol, Yod with Kamatz, and Hey Shirek. Okay, good. Any fundamental problems with any of those as far as your comprehension or what's going on and so forth is concerned? Yes, Peter?
I didn't know what vowel point to go to.
Oh, okay. This is the verb. Well, it's going to be analogous to your, do we have any one guttural? Okay. It's going to be like he'emad there in your page 262 because it's a one guttural hifil. And let's see, this is third person, so I guess we want page 261. So it'd be like...
I thought it was appeal.
I'm sorry, you're on a different one. Okay, I was thinking...
Number eight,
I'm sorry. Okay, kikheid, and you were wondering about which vowel point?
The seri, it went to a...
Oh, I see. Yeah. That one's just... That's going to just reduce... let's see, the PL. See. The vowel that's going on, if you look at your PO form, it's just like, I guess we don't really have one there that's exactly like this. Closest one we've got is Berak, And no, that doesn't really work. Oh, Kikade, okay. Yeah, this Kikade is probably a stative rather than a... Did anybody look it up? Is it listed as a PL? This may just be a stative verb. Because you don't, with the hey, when the hey in the middle, you would have expected, if it were PL, you should have a longer vowel. You should have compensatory lengthening and have Kikade, something like that. So we better look up that verb. That may just be a stative verb.
It's PL.
They do mark it as PL. Okay.
Well, it's a PL.
Okay, that must be PL then. Some of them don't get compensatory lengthening, they get virtual doubling, and that's what happened here. Okay.
But that would be normal for a seri to go to a chatef pathar.
Yeah. Yeah, the seri would either go to that or just a shawa if it weren't under a guttural. If it weren't under a guttural, it would just go to shawa.
That makes sense.
And that's why we had the debate, because this thing, since it closes the syllable, you have the real debate as to whether you're going to go to just a shawa and let it close or go to chatef pathar. And I couldn't resolve that.
Okay.
Anyone else? Okay, let's look at the reading then. Get started with that. The evils of kingship. And we're starting 1 Samuel 8 and verse 4. And who was last here? Yeah, okay. So, Bryce, go ahead with verse 4. It's a nice short one.
Why, yes, let's
do. Okay. What is covered too?
Ko Tekne Yisrael Wayabohu El Shemuel Haramota?
No, it'll just be a comments all the way through the mythic. Yeah, Haramata. Four comments in a row.
So they gathered all the elders of Israel. And they came to Samuel, to Ramah.
Okay. You might, all the elders of Israel were the ones that were gathering, so they gathered themselves probably. Mm-hmm. All the elders of Israel gathered themselves and came to Samuel toward Ramah. Ramah word. Directional commentary there. Okay. So it's a hispile form, so it's probably gathered themselves, reflexive. See, it's Yith Kavatsu. So all the elders of Israel gathered themselves and came to Samuel toward Ramah. That's Yisrael, too. We need to... It's an easy mistake to make between the sheen and the sheen. Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 5, Doug. Bidrakeka. Mm-hmm. Mouthful. Bidrakeka. Hagoyim. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I said to him, behold, you have become old.
Mm-hmm.
And your son have not walked in your way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And they said to him, behold, you are old, and there's a real emphasis on you are old. It's the atah. You don't need the atah in there. You know, just the zakanta would be you are old. But atah zakanta, you are old. So I don't know if that's very flattering or not, but behold, you are old, and your sons have not walked in your ways. Now set or appoint a king for us. There's that kamatei type of form for the imperative second person masculine singular. And we've seen that before. It's not as, I don't know which is more common, but sima, that kamatei there is that other form for the imperative, longer form. So now appoint or set a king for us to judge us like all the nations. Okay, like all the goyim.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse 6, Peter.
Vayera hadavar vehine shimuel sasher amaru tina lanu mele the shofet the shofet.
Yeah, you probably will go with that. Lishoftenu.
Why give Palel Shemuel El Yahweh?
Yeah, that's what we should have done earlier, too, is Lishoftenu in the previous sentence. Because it doesn't have the metheg on it. Okay, go ahead.
And the thing was evil in the eyes of Samuel when they said, or as they said, give to us a king to judge us.
Right. Good. Yeah. And the thing was evil in the eyes of Samuel when they said, or as they said, give to us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to Yahweh. Okay. A hithael form there for praying. Any questions there? Verse 7, John.
Vayomer Yahweh el Shmuel. Lakol ha'am, lakol asher, yomru, eleka, kilo otka, ma'asu, ki oti, ma'asu, lemenok, alehem.
Okay.
Yahweh said to Samuel, listen in or hear in or listen to the voice of the people.
Right.
For all which they speak to you, because they're despising, they're not despising you, but me.
Right.
They're despising.
Right. My beg it, they have despised. They have not rejected you or despised you, but they have despised me. Okay. And then, the last clause there, this one.
Nimlok.
Yeah, Nimlok. This is Nimlok. It's preposition min. Stuck on to
the
verb
form.
Yeah.
Okay.
Participle.
It's an interesting way of saying it. From making a king upon them.
Right, or from, you might say reigning in this case, or being king. They've rejected me from being king or from reigning. Ruling.
Oh, okay. They have despised or rejected
me.
Rejected.
Oh.
Well, where are you getting the me then?
Okay, for it's ki othi.
Okay.
See, from me, or because me, they have despised.
That,
yeah.
That phrase,
oh, well, let me see. It depends on how you punctuate it. See, what's happening is. They listen to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but me they have rejected from reigning over them.
Me they have rejected from ruling over them. Oh,
right,
see.
From ruling over them.
Okay.
So they have not rejected you, but me they have rejected from ruling over them. from being king over them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. So to repeat it, and Yahweh said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people, to all they say to you." Kind of another parenthesis to it. "For they have not rejected you, but me they have rejected from reigning over them." And the "me" is quite emphatic, KOC, you know. Putting the object first like that is getting some emphasis. And separating it out with the S too. You see, they could have just put the pronominal suffix on there, object suffix on there. "They have rejected me." But the separating it out like this and putting it first kind of gives it, you can feel the force that it has. Okay, any other questions on that? "Me they have rejected from reigning over them, ruling over them, or being king over them."
When he speaks, he said, "Here in the voice of the people."
Oh, yes. I think that was idiomatic. Yeah.
But when she's with Yom Ru, it's, for all or to all.
Mm-hmm. To all or for all.
"You're in, but for all."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a strange.
I think with the word "kol," the voice, there might have been a note about that, but I think it was with the word "kol," there's an idiom for that one. And then with this other thing, they're just using "to" now, "listen to." We ought to look that up. I think there was something, you'd have to know which one in the vocab list it was where Shema was given to you originally, but it seems like I remember something about an idiom with "listen to the voice of her." Yes. Maybe it was under voice, and they had several things. Maybe there was more to it than that. Seems like I remember it, though. But this would have to be considered idiomatic. I think it's listening in the realm of the voice. In other words, preposition.
Yeah, what was the voice we had to
call it? Mm-hmm.
28.
But it doesn't mention the other ears. Okay, that's just talking about the voice. It might have been under Shema when we had that verb, to listen or hear. Seems like it was, but does anybody know which page that's on? I don't hate to look through it all. But I think that's what you're going to find.
Oh, I found it. Page 71.
Oh, how about that? Does it say anything what we want to hear?
Yeah, it
good. Okay, to hear. Okay, and then B plus, either B or L with kol, to obey. So that's the idea of listening to the voice. So he's saying hearken to, yeah, hearken to in the sense of obeying. So God's telling him obey in the sense of listen to and hearken to their voice. Okay, but it is funny if they can use either B or L apparently with this idiom. They chose to use B here and then use L in the following phrase. But that's, you know, the preposition lama that's going to be common here. Okay. Maybe it's to set a distinction between, obey the voice of the people. It maybe set a slight distinction in that the rest of the phrase is describing what the people said.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what they said, and this is what they said, you know. Kind of an appositional relationship. Okay, verse 8. Tony. Okay, how ma'asim? Ma'asim. I'm not sure. I think you had a dual ending on it.
Asher asu miyom ha'elot.
Yeah, ha'alofi. Ha'alofi.
In the triumph,
mm-hmm.
Where Ad Hayom Adem
this is a good one.
Vaya
Az Buni. Yes, Vaya Az Buni. Vaya Az Buni. Okay.
Wa.
Okay. That wasn't too bad. Mm-hmm. Vaya Abdu.
Vaya Abdu.
Okay, it would just be Osim. Osim, you got to do a ending again. Okay, Gamlak. All right. Brought them out from Egypt and brought them up, you see, that made caused them to ascend Hifil from Allah. Okay, good. I brought them up from Egypt. That's fine. Either unto or until. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And they served other gods. This they do also to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thus they're doing, or so they're doing, that came there. They're doing also to you. Now, you're starting off with as, you see, the kakol in their front, the k, according to all the works that they have done from the day that I brought them up from Egypt until this day, and they forsook me and served other gods. That all kind of goes together. So they are doing also to you. Okay? So as they did to me, so they're doing to you. So I'll read it again. According to all the works, or as... this might be better. According to all the work that they have done from the day that I brought them up from Egypt until this day, when they forsook me and served other gods. I put a when in there, even though it's not there. It's because of the construction here. You could just translate it and. When I brought them up from Egypt until this day, and they forsook me and served other gods, so they are doing also to you. So they are doing also to you. The point is, he's saying that when he brought them up from Egypt and then they forsook him and served other gods after he did that, so they are doing also to you. So God was rejected, and now Samuel's getting a taste of it. Okay, any other questions on that? Verse 9, Eric. Okay. It's just Wahigavta there. Wahigavta. I guess the accent does shift on it. But it still would be a silent Shua there. The Pathak is short. Okay. Translation?
Now listen to their voice. However, warn them.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them from the judgment of the king which they are ruling over them.
Okay, which shall rule over them, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it says, and now listen to their voice, however warn them, and tell them the judgment of the king which shall rule over them. And the judgment of the king, you know, in other words, the kind of judgment he's going to have, the kind of manner he's going to have, and then he's going to describe what kind of things he'll do. So he says, you know, Let them do what they want, but warn them. Let them know what's going to cost. Reminds me of counseling sometimes. People want to do something, and you know they're wanting you to give your approval so they can do it. You know, and you know, they want you to tell them how to live. You know, and in a counseling position, you don't want to take a position of telling them yay or nay, and then you know being responsible now for what happens to them. So you just say, okay, let them do what they want to do, but warn them. Yeah. In other words, give them the warning, and then they're going to have to make their own decision. It's their free will. So now listen to their voice. However, warning them, or surely warn them, or something like that. Certainly warn them. Warning, warn them. I like that even better. And let them, and tell them the judgment or manner of the king which shall rule over them. I put manner there as possibility for that too. Yes.
Whenever I see those occurrences where they have, you know, the verb saying very repeated twice.
Yes.
I try to tend to find, rather than repeating it, I have my own sense in the Hebrew of warning and warn.
Right.
I always try to find a translation to find something, an adjective, you know, or adverb that said that.
Sure, that's.
I said solemn warning this time.
Solemn warning, okay. Yeah,
it
fits the context. It's the idea of an intensive warning. And so, and usually we think of warnings, a solemn warning is a more intense warning than another one. So that's all right. It's a looser translation from, you know, it depends whether you want to go literal or not. And it's how you look at this thing. In English, it doesn't make sense for us to use the idiom that Hebrew does. So we have to do something. And that something is along the lines of intensification of it. And so... Yeah, surely or certainly or something like that doesn't work as good here. Like, I think what you've got there works pretty well. Yeah.
Warning them.
Mm-hmm. Again, that same. Yeah.
Maybe you could say, put the warning in them.
Yeah.
Be it the idea behind it.
Yeah, and or the idea of place a warning among them. If it's in them, if it's a group, you know, and make this warning known among them. Mm-hmm. That may be an idea too.
So, like in the Hebrew thought, when they say something like this or when they wrote it down, in their mind, did it click, warningly warn them, or did they have the idea of, you know, definitely warn or surely warn? What was the idea in their head? Was this verb repeated twice?
No, I think it's just real strong emphasis. I mean, I can feel it almost by the idea of warning, warn them, you know. In other words, don't just, it's not just tell them once, you know, just casually mention it to them. It's a strong warning, warn them, you know. In other words, almost a continuing action type of thing, although you can't always press that in every case where, they're, you know, they're doing it over and over again, but that's kind of the feeling you get, that it's really a strong imploring, you know. Be doing this, and not just warn them, but in warning, continually be warning them.
Maybe in a warning manner, warn them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adverbially, taking it adverbially. It's almost, in effect, you're using the same verb as an adverb or modifier of itself, which gives you that intensive idea. And depending on the verb and the meaning of the verb, you may, of course, make a different decision as to how you're going to express that in English. That's what you did there. Because of the meaning of that particular word, a solemn warning felt, you know, gave you the idea. You're getting the right thought. And the question is, how do we express it in English? And that's going to be a matter of judgment oftentimes. Okay, that's all the time for today. We'll finish up this tomorrow. And if we have time, we'll start launching into Lesson 53.
Now,
what's that? In verse 9. Okay, Ta'i.
Or is that just because that's a...
I'm trying to think now. I don't know if they give you that verb recently or not. Ta'ev, Ta'ev. I think it's just, it looks like second person masculine singular imperative. And then you've got your infinitive in front of that. So it looks like warn them, you know. Warning, you will warn them. I think that's what it is, second person imperfect. But it's got that imperative idea. The imperfect uses imperative. Did we have the verb to warn recently? Okay, it's
yeah.
It's hey Eve, which is a hifil. So ya Eve. Okay, it looks like it's a second person imperfect, but it's a hifil verb. Okay. Okay, and then you have the ha'ed, which would be your infinitive.